Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a joyful time in your presence, Lord. Just as you have said, in your presence is always the fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And this, thou being omnipresent, anywhere we are, we can enjoy this joyful atmosphere of the Lord, anywhere we are. Whether we are at work, when we lay down upon our bed, because we are omnipresent, and in your presence is the fullness of joy, we can have this 24 hours by 7 in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why pay attention to the distraction of the world, said the Lord. Set your eye upon me. I will make the crooked places straight, said the Lord. I will level the mountains before you, and thou shalt walk in a plain path. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I cannot lie, and I will not lie. Trust thou in the Lord. Heaven, we worship and we adore you, Lord. You are so wonderful, Lord. The Lord our God in the midst of us, he is mighty. Blessed be thy name, Father. As we read your word this morning, Lord, leave us a blessing as you always do. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
With that song that we just sung, I trust and obey. Right, take it from there. Last Sunday, we were talking about the commandment of the Lord, right? Now, trust and obey, right? John chapter 14, I continue the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21 says of John 14, he that has my commandments, you must have them. You must read the scriptures. Don't let the scripture be the last thing you read in your life. You put every other thing on the line but the word of God. That will not work, said the Lord. I do not walk outside my word. I walk with my word. My word is everything. Keep my word. Have you not read the scripture? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. There is no shortcut, people. You must learn the scripture. You must memorize them. You must meditate upon them. Praise the Lord. So, he that has my commandment, you must have them and keepeth them. That's, you have to have them. You have to keep them. He it is that loveth me. Think you love the Lord? Better know his word, amen? And keep his word. Praise him. That is the sign that you love him, you know? People can say anything they want. Talk is cheap, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Talk is cheap, you know? This is the real truth. You love the Lord, you want to read his word, and know his word, and keep it also. James tells us, know he that hear the word of the Lord, and also keep them, like a man that sees himself in the mirror, right? And when he turns away, straight away he forgets how he look in the mirror, you know. That he that hear the truth and doesn't do the truth. You don't want to be like that. So anyway, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. I will manifest myself unto him. That's why there's little or no manifestation in the church today. They are not keeping their eye on the word of the Lord. The Bible comes by giving heed to the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
You keep your eye, you can pray all you want. All true prayer are based on the word of God. See, for faith to be valid, has to be anchored on the promises of God. Praise the Lord. So the word of God, he said, thy word have I exalted above all that my name is. Can you see how great his name is? Yes, he says his word, he has exalted above that. I believe that is in Psalm 138. I don't have it here. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. You see that one? And even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in him, in his love. So, this morning, trust and obey as we sang. And that take us to this message, continue as we stop last Sunday. So, and I put a statement here last Sunday, I want to read it again. How far the world and the church are away from the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ, can best be understood by a study of the Lord's commandments. To see how far you are or how near you are to the Lord can be known by understanding his commandments. The commandments of the Lord Jesus, they are very binding, not in the oppressive way, and they constitute a standard for the Christian's conscience. And I put a statement here also. The degree of our Christ-likeness, how Christ-like you are, can be ascertained by the practical application of these commandments to our very lives. And I say, as a test of the Spirit, These commandments are the only infallible rule. Man can make their own rule. They are only valid if they are in line with the word of God. You see, when the U.S. look at their law and so on, many of them are patterned after the scripture, you know, and they do well when they keep them, you know, and they go into all this trouble when they go to deviate and making laws which are now contrary to the scriptures, you know. So anyway, so we see that one there. So, if the spirit that is in us honors the word of the law and teaches the word of God and causes us to live in absolute harmony with the principles and commandments and teachings of the Lord Jesus, then it is the spirit of God. You see, Bible says, test every spirit if they be of God, right? But I told you, people today don't tell the spirit anymore. They don't hear any kind of a thing and they just go with it, whether it is agree with the word of God or not. And so, test every spirit and see if they be of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ come into the world in the flesh is not the spirit of the Lord. You see, the Antichrist spirit. Praise the Lord. See, every truth that said that Jesus Christ comes into the world in the flesh and is the Lord and God, that is the spirit of the Lord. And so that, you know, we have to test every spirit. So now, the commandments of the Lord Jesus are the authoritative declaration, just repeat some of the things I said last Sunday now, of the Son of God. And they are forever abiding on the, on the Christian soul. Now, the commandments of the Lord Jesus, they supersede the Ten Commandments. In fact, in most of his sermons on the Mount and so on, he now took those Ten Commandments and just expatiated them and bring in the new covenant. Now, he came to fulfill the law himself. Praise the Lord. So he didn't come to destroy the law. No. He came to fulfill them, you know, for you and I, you know. So, and then he modified them. No, that's something that, you know, for your own good, for my own good, I think that, you know. So, he who obtains a place in the kingdom of God or heaven, we all know how they got there, right? We got through there by being born again, right? That is how anybody can enter the kingdom of God, you know. That particular, what is his name now? He came in the night. He was so, he saw the mighty, Nicodemus, he saw the mighty work of the law. He has seen the water turn into wine. Oh, that burning. I mean, no man can do this great miracles except God be with him. The Lord didn't take the honor of men. See, I don't seek the honor of men. That's what many people are looking for today. They want to be popular and do all the flamboyant thing all over the place. He didn't even talk anything about what he did. I tell you of a truth that, you know, unless you be born again, you can't be seen, you can't see the kingdom of God. He didn't even listen to his adoration or anything like that, you know. He told him what not to know. And you know what? That man stood to, you know, he stood to, I know he was born again, right to the end. Nicodemus separated himself from the other Pharisees, amen? And stood with the Lord to the end, you know, and so on like that, you know. So anyway, so we see. Now, so from the new birth that we have in Christ Jesus, you know, our life is then governed by the principles and commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and I said something last Sunday also, the tremendous selfishness of the world and even the average Christian today is best understood by the application of the unselfish principles and commandments of the Lord Jesus. I just really repeat this thing for a purpose, you know. And observation demonstrates that the really great in God, people who are really great in God, you know, who bless mankind, they are those who live in absolute accordance with the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and then before this morning, I will mention some of these commandments again this morning. Some of them I just read them and pass them by. Other I will make some comments as the Holy Ghost leads. So, and the Lord told us something in Matthew 7, which we should never forget. With what force then the words of Jesus come to us, as spoken at the close of his sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, reads like this, 24, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, the word of God, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, the saints of our Lord Jesus Christ, is where to build any life that we that we withstand all the storms of this life. You have to build upon the word of God. These saints of mine, the Lord said, you know. That's why you have to know the saints, you know. And so, 26, and everyone that heareth these saints of mine and dress them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended his sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, and for he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. So just to build our lives and everything we do upon the word of God. Now, some of his commandments right now, you know, of course, how many can we say of the Lord's commandments? If we are to even talk of all that he said, all the books in this world cannot even contain it. All the seas in the oceans, if it are to be ink, you can't even finish all that he said. Praise the Lord. Just on choice one of his commandments, talk about this morning, continue. In Mark 12:17, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. You know, they came unto him and so forth, that, you know. Should we pay tribute to Caesar? They asked him, and so on, just to thank the Lord and so on, you know. The Lord said, give me a coin over there, you know. Whose superscription is on this? They say it's Caesar's. Okay. Verse 17 of Mark 12. Render to Caesar the thing which are Caesar's, and to God the thing which are God's. So, tax evasion is not Christendom, amen. Praise the Lord. So, I'm not trying to, not the tax time yet, but tax evasion is not Christian anything, really, you know. Or say, you are, no. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, you know. And unto God that which is God's, you know. So, simple thing, the command of the Lord and so on, that, you know. Now, another command is this: swear not at all. I will expatiate on this one. Swear not at all. Let your communication be yea, nay. I will talk on this one a little bit, you know. That's in Matthew 5, 33. Again, you have heard that it has been said by men of old time. Meaning the law. That was talking about the law right now. Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the law thy oaths. See, the word oaths, right? Now, what the Lord is saying here is that in the third commandment, take it together with many other passages of the Old Testament, enjoined a man to swear only by Jehovah. That's the Old Testament. And when you do swear by Jehovah, then you must be diligent in the performance of that oath. That's the Old Testament. Now, the law amended it. Or if you want to say, it deepened the injunction. If it's an olive, it deepened that injunction. In Matthew 5:34, see what the Lord said to 37. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, nay. For whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. Now the question goes this way. Is a Christian then violating God's commandment or Christ's commandment when you take oath in the court? Are you violating God's commandment? When he said you cannot swear by any oath. Are we violating God's commandment by taking a oath in the court of justice? Is it really so? No, let's look at the Bible very closely. I don't think so. First of all, let us understand the nature of an oath. In making an oath, a person solemnly asserts in God's presence and as surely as he hopes for God's blessing to be upon his life, he wants God's blessing in his life, right? And I think at that moment of swearing the oath is in God's presence at that time, you know. And that whatever he says is the truth. Now, they are saying that, it means that they are saying that, oh, that moment only, when they are making an oath is when God is present. But it's only the time when you are making an oath, God present. We know by now, God is omnipresent. God is present everywhere. Praise God. So not just when you are making an oath by a justice or whosoever or religious person. No, God is omnipresent. He's always ever, doesn't come and he doesn't go. You know, he's always there for those who want him and some of that, you know. So anyway, but we know by many scriptures that God is present everywhere at all times. And this be the case then, why should men of this world only set occasions to acknowledge God's presence and tell the truth? So only in the time of the oath you want to make, want to tell the truth, right? You know why? You know, so anyway, the Jew in particular will forswear himself, but will think nothing of telling what was not true on other occasions. That is Jew. He won't tell the truth on occasion only when he's making an oath, you know, to God and some of that, you know. So the Lord will lift to a new level all the conversation which had been previously heard only on declaration of an oath. Now, even the book of James tells us further in James 5:12. You know, he repeats the same thing the Lord told us, you know, James 5:12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. So, are we wrong when we make an oath in the court? Or no, not wrong. Now, we are living in a day when men can't keep in their word as a small matter. Be careful what you say. In this day, people don't think of what they say. They don't think about keeping the word they speak, you know. I mean, that's the day we are living right now. It's a fundamental lack of integrity, really, that has resulted in such a deterioration of the spiritual level of the church. Meaning, when you say something and you don't keep your word, it's a deterioration of spiritual, spirituality, really, you know. So, and you know, you have to keep your word, really. So, our oaths, therefore, such as those we make in the court, you know, are Christians prohibited from making these oaths? We are not. It should be noted that the Lord Himself consented to be put under oath. Even the Lord Himself consented to be put under oath by the high priest, and to that adjuration, He gave an answer. You know, we talk about the trial of the Lord Jesus, the ecclesiastical trial of the Lord Jesus, the political trial of the Lord Jesus. In that political thing, so the law was put under oath actually by the high priest. Where in Matthew 26, verse 62, I'm saying that because, you know, Christians and so on, sometimes try to cheat us and so on, you know, making an oath in the court of law is not really prohibited. Now, 26 of Matthew 62, the Lord Himself was put under oath. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answered thou nothing? What is it which this witness against thee? Now, what the next verse? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God. That's an oath. I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. That's like confessing other oaths, actually, you know. And the Lord concurred. In verse 64, Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, see, that I am the Son of God. See, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Amen. I love all the scripture. It's coming in the cloud of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget that it is called the third coming. The first one, nothing. This one, we know nothing. You know. In the rapture of the church, when it comes, the second coming is the rapture of the church, which we are told in 1 Thessalonians 4, about 13 to 17, or in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, that is the first second coming of the Lord, and all they will see, I don't know, millions missing, is all they will see. Now, news are ubiquitous now. You can turn on your cell phone, you can see what happened in Jerusalem. The other day, my wife was showing me, a virtual tour of Jerusalem, you know. I was just thinking about it, you know. We're looking at Jerusalem just on the screen, you know, and they take a virtual tour of it and all that, you know. And you can see the streets empty because of the pandemic, right? That reminds us of Revelation 11, right? How they will see the two witnesses. Praise the Lord. No, we touch Jerusalem all night long. And the city of Jaffa all night long on the internet, you know, just virtual tour. You know, like you want to buy a house, right? You don't have to go there right now. They do a virtual tour, right? So we do a virtual tour of Jerusalem. And you can see the empty street because of the pandemic and all that, you know. So Bible tells us that when these two witnesses are killed in Revelation 11, all the world will see them. Before television, you'll be wondering, how can all the world see them? See? Don't listen to the word of God, amen? Hallelujah. Lean not unto your own understanding. Praise the Lord. He is the Lord that called the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, the same, all the other promises of God to you, don't try to understand by your human understanding. You cannot explain a miracle, said the Lord. Amen? A miracle is a miracle. That's what it is. You cannot explain by human understanding. Praise the Lord. So that's how you take a miracle. Then you can get miracles all the time. It is the reasoning, human reasoning, that set us back from receiving the supernatural. Praise God. The natural man receiving all the things of God, right? They are foolishness to him. Because you have to reason it out, you know? How can you reason out God? You can't. Praise the Lord. The prophet say, you cannot find God by searching him out. You cannot do it, you know? Just to take him by faith. We are singing before, obey and obey and obey. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so we see right there. So so even the apostle Paul himself, on several occasions, takes God as his witness, right? I'm saying that taking a note to the cause is not really anything that we are not allowed to do. So even Brother Paul, we say many times, God is my witness. That's all that, you know. And so with all these things, then we can say that taking a note in the court is not prohibited, to the Christian, you know, actually, you know. So because when you read all these commandments, people get confused many times and so on, you know. So the reason that oaths are taken in courts is because of what? Of the habitual neglect of truth in ordinary conversation. That's how human beings are today. Just neglect the truth. So, of course, a real Christian, of course, is always truthful, amen? Amen? A real Christian should always be truthful, you know. So, and the other thing we talked about, Satan, the liar and the father of lies. So, when you lie like that, you don't know what you are doing, you are opening a door for Satan into your realm when you lie. Because you are doing what he's doing, you know. So, don't be a liar like him. No matter what the consequences, tell the truth. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. You know, so, so a man is living far below the Christian standard if he tells the truth only because you are under a host. No. As a Christian, you must always tell the truth. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, that's a command there. So it's clarified right there. You know what I mean? Yeah, go ahead. I say, if a Christian only tells the truth only when he's under the oath, then it's even below the standard of Christianity. He must tell the truth all the time, no matter what the consequences. Praise the Lord. See? So now let's see another one. The Bible says, agree with thy adversary quickly. That is in Matthew 5:25. Just pick a few of his commandments and talk about them. Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. Let at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Well, I won't talk so much about that right now, but what I will say is this. In Romans 12:18, it is written, if it be possible, as much as light in you, live peaceably with all men. Amen? Praise the Lord. If at all possible, in Romans 12:18, as much as light in you, live peaceably with all men. See? Now, Bible tells us in there, it says, forbid not those who do not, now, in Matthew, in Mark 9:39-40, the Lord said this. Now, somebody came to, Brother John came to the Lord Jesus. He said, oh, Lord Jesus, we see somebody casting out devils in your name, and doesn't follow us. You know, that's the thing that happened. Then the Lord said to him in Mark 9:39-40, waiting for the revival of the law. This is important right now. The Lord told Brother John and the other disciples, "For ye not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part, is with us." Anyway, this is very, very important. As God's revival begins to spread upon the earth, this last revival, we don't know denominations. Amen. Don't say it's in our fellowship or that God is moving. No. This is going to be a universal revival. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, Brother John, I mean, a big apostle that's close to the law, you know, you see what he was saying, you know, and the Lord can't rebuke him there. So, I mean, don't say anything like that. So, even back in those days, those early 70 revivals, I can see how powerful it was, you know. Now, during the school time in the college, we will be having our great meetings and so on. During the long vacation in summer, when we go to all these Lagos schools, and all the denominations will be preaching the gospel. So one time, in the campus, we are used to the fasting life and so on. So during that summer, I went to one Ibuti letter, I used to go and pray there. Yeah, one church in Ibuti, I just go and pray. Then I met a brother from, one church. It was on the 21st day fast. Amen? What in our campus with us, in all these things? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Universal revival. So don't limit anything now. See, because this last Baba will know no denomination. Praise the Lord. So let us keep our eye on that. So yes, God will walk everywhere and will pull his own people out of the bondage and things like that. Let us have an open heart as we pray for revival. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord said in John 6:12. Now, you see, he had been preaching to the people for I don't know how many days, 3 days and so on, that, you know. Now it's done. So I don't want to send them away, less because they'll be hungry, they'll be facing the way. And they say, well, what shall we go set before them? Long story short, so they know that nothing to be brought around here. I had the disciple, you know what we're going to do? What shall we do? And some say, well, even 200 penny, whatever bread, can't even, what is that among so many? That's a lad here that have 5 barley loaves, you know, and 2 small fishes now. The Lord said, okay, bring it. The Lord gave thanks and, of course, gave to the disciples to divide among the people. And they ate out of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Thousands of people were fed, you know. See? And at the end of the thing, they still gathered 12 extra baskets. Then the Lord gave a command in John 6:12. Those 12 baskets, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Amen. Look at America today. So-called the breadbasket of the world. And so that, you know, look at how much food is wasted in each restaurant each day. We don't go out so much this day anymore. But look at how much food is wasted. The Lord taught us a lesson here. No matter how much God blesses you, right? Do not waste anything. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That is the moral. No matter how much God has given you, do not waste it. So, he said, let nothing be lost. So, for God to say that, it means something in our lives. So, let us go forward from here. Now, at another place, he said, lay up not treasure on earth. That's Matthew 6:19. I want to read that particular 2 or 3 verses. Matthew 6:19-20. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. We are talking about the commandments of the Lord, right? You know, so yeah, some of them. And where thieves break through and they steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. 21. For where our treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. So let us I will speak a little bit about this particular command here. You know, some are just passed by, some are. Most of us know that this world has many dishonest persons in it, right? We all know that. Only the Christian, the true Christian. He that seeks to accumulate treasure of this earth should take steps to protect them from theft. That's what is happening in this world today. You have to do that, you know. There never has been a time when society has been able to protect itself fully from loss. In this respect, they couldn't do it fully. If we are not careful in the bank, I mean, Nigeria had their 419, they call it. Even the bank itself, nothing is safe this day, really, you know. You have to keep on washing. People can just hack your bank account and steal your money from there. So, you know, so the Lord is warning us. Don't put all your treasure or your heart in this world only. Store it up in heaven. Thieves will succeed in breaking through and stealing what does not belong to them anytime in this world. Hence, the Lord begins to warn us. And besides this, moth and rust, apart from the thieves, moth and rust and other agents of decay ceaselessly work to despoil and to ruin the treasures of men on this earth. We know that. See? So now, for example, now, we are apart from thieves, rust, decay, destroy things, right? So we know, so for example, where is the wealth of the world which existed in Jesus' day? Where are those wealth over which men fought and gave their lives for? People, they fought and died for this wealth. And where are those wealth today? And some of that, you know. Not long ago, we preached about the seven wonders of the ancient world, right? And not long ago here, we preached on the seven wonders of the ancient world. Where are all of them? Only one of them is standing, the Great Pyramid. Praise the Lord. Because what we know, the architecture thereof is not the leader of man. Praise God. That's the only reason it's standing today, the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Praise the Lord. So you see, so just, I think we just, either they are stolen by thieves, or time we just get on them, and they will decay and rotting away, you know. So, and what is left of the things of this world are only relics. If they are not stolen, over time, they become just relics, you know. And, the broken stones are reflecting an age that has vanished away. I mean, the old thing that are in this world and things like that, you know. So let us obey the word of the law and put our thoughts and our minds into the things that are above. So, and the question goes now, why should men trade their lives for... Relics. Just like antiquities. Okay. I mean, all the glorious things of yesterday become antiquities. Okay. By reason of rusting and wasting away, you know, by reason of time.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
No.
It means that they just, I mean, nothing of this thing lasts forever, right? Okay. No matter how glorious they were. Look at those seven wonders of the ancient world. Hanging Garden of Babylon. So glorious. Babylon was so glorious. Where is it today? You know? Look at all those temples that they were built and I talked about that time. Well, at the end of the day, you know, they are all gone, you know. You know, the lighthouse of Alexandria. The lighthouse of Alexandria, which is the format by which all other lighthouses in the world are built today. Where is it? It collapsed. You know, it could be seen miles, I don't know how many miles away on the sea, that lighthouse, even back then, you know. So the temple of Diana and all those things, you know, where are they? They all went away, you know. And that's what Christ is telling us here, you know. Either they are stolen away, one way or the other, or time we get this thing and they just rust away. That's what the Lord is teaching us here, you know. So anyway, we will build our treasures in heaven. Rather, the Lord said to lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. The question then is this. What does it mean to lay up treasure in heaven? What does that mean? So, like I said, I will expand on some of them, but I will just pass by. Well, this is what it means. It is our acts. Laying up treasure in heaven is our acts, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause your act for the cause of Christ is how you lay up treasure in heaven. Whatever you are doing for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are laying up treasures in heaven. That means soul winning, you know. Winning the soul for the Lord Jesus Christ, that means your daily prayers for the kingdom of God to come. You know, it means your giving to the cause of missions and the gospel, you know. Now, all of us should be witnessing. I'm telling you right now, by supporting missions, you can be here and be preaching in Japan. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's a missionary in Japan or India or South America, and you are not in your house and you are preaching. See, it's all the same kingdom, right? There are governments, there are heads. Are you all prophets? Are you all evangelists and so on? But we can all witness anyway. But there are so many ways you can support Christianity. Each of these things you do for the cause of Christ, you are laying up treasure in heaven. So all this effort that you make, they may seem at times to be lost. No, they are not lost at all. They are laid up in the treasure house of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Be encouraged. You don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. Amen? Give and it shall be given. So anything you do for the cause of Christ, you are laying up treasure in heaven, whether you see or not. You're going to meet it there, So the Lord gave us a true test as to whether we love God. And he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if one's treasure lies in the world and it works, then or its popularity, that's what people are looking for, right? Popularity, works, and the glory and the glamour of this world, that they are looking for, right? Even many preachers and all that, then that is where their heart is also. But for us, let us only do the things which are for the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can support missions. There are many true evangelists out there in different countries who are suffering and things like that, We can help them. Philippines, one of the poorest countries in the world, And even, all over the place, there are many. Look at the internet, you can see them there, You can send phones to them, and you'll be preaching while you're in your house. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so now, another command the Lord gave us. I will shorten it, I don't want to be too long here. Like I said, there are so many commands. Give to him that asketh thee, the Lord said. That is in Matthew 5:42. Give to him that asketh thee. Now, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn thou not away, the Lord said. Well, we know that there are worldly cases in which help is needed in this world, misfortunes do happen to people and so on like that, and it's always our duty as a Christian to assist them, and if possible to help such people to resume a normal course of life. Yet it will be poor wisdom to give to everyone who solicits help. Does it contradict the word of God? Doesn't contradict the word of God. There are some situations where you need divine guidance, even how you give. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There are certain things where you have to have divine guidance to when and how you give. The general thing is to give everyone that asketh thee, yes. But you have to use divine wisdom to see the true need that exists and so on that. Back in those old days of rising up and so on that, there came a doctrine, it will just come to you. I claim that thing. I claim that thing. You come to your house, I claim your refrigerator, I claim your oven and some of that, And some people were just devastated. Some people fell for it. And because they don't know the scriptures, right? One of the top most evangelists in the world, worldwide, don't go to heaven and things like that, but literally continue here on earth. One time somebody bought a brand new truck or something like that, Then another Christian came that he claimed that truck. This is my truck. Go and buy your own. Amen. He said, because he was a man of God, if you just do anything, you'll be in pain. He said, this is, God gave me this truck. You go and buy your own. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See? We are living in the Satan can use all kind of corny things, Be wise as a serpent and be harmless as a dove. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So they can use that scripture on you. Give to everyone that asks you, yes. There are times your divine guidance and wisdom in all these things. Praise God.
Amen.
So that's why I just pick some of them like that, So we have in our midst cause frustrations. I was in a meeting in that so-called, I think, Ikoyi Park. Then one brother stood up. He just walked out to the people. I myself was worn out. I don't know why we didn't even stop him on time. Oh, you have a two television, the television you had, clear your television and so on. He got me to just drag the meeting for a long time. Anyway, praise God. Let us open our eyes because we are in a dangerous time right now. So I will not be talking too much this morning, and so we see that on India. So So let me talk about our love for the brethren. Our love for the brethren. The Lord told us in John 15:12, this is my commandment, he says, that you love one another as I have loved you. So that's just right there. So despite in Matthew 18:10, you know, so we have to love another as the Lord has loved us. We can spend another time, I mean, of course, not many years ago, talk about love here. 1 Corinthians 13, talk a lot about that, you know. So I won't go on that this morning, but just keeping the Lord's commandment is good enough for us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So anyway, we are to have peace. We are to have peace among one another. In Mark 9:50, the Lord said this. Salt is good. Are we talking about this one? Salt is good. But if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? The Lord said, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Amen. Praise the Lord. Talking for a revival, that is a prerequisite. Praise the Lord Jesus. And the vision I've seen of revival, I mean, I'm still praying that God will restore such a love that we had.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That's my prayer. Myself was telling me last Sunday also, pray, brother, we tied together. I pondered upon that statement, so Lord, I had to be crying somewhere, you know, praise God. The love we have. When we were in the camp for that day, ordinarily we were just students, you know. Those days, they used to meal tickets. There are many of the brethren who don't have money, you know. And I see many people that ate for a whole school year without having a penny. These, they are tickets, right? We just dump them and people just go and pick. You don't know whether you have money or don't have money. So we just dump the meat ticket, you pick them and go out to the cafeteria and go and get food, you know. So it was so wonderful. And God has never done it differently. So that divine love has to be fully restored again. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So he said, have fervent love among yourself. There is no shortcut to revival. Divine love is what will bring it, you know. And any group who will refuse it will be outside of the revival. Period, amen. Because God cannot be stopped. Praise the Lord. Amen. God cannot be stopped. Amen. We pray for all Christians. So we see that one right there, you know. So anyway, Matthew 5:23-24. This is the last one I'm going to talk about today. Now, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, talking about loving one another, right? And there remembereth that thy brother has ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. How many Christians are practicing that today, you know? Don't harbor anything. God is not really mocked, amen? Praise the Lord. Why are we wasting our time praying when you have things against your brother and your sister? Praise God. Maybe I did often too, I don't know. But this is just the truth of the old matter. Praise God. Settle it for us, amen? So maybe that's another reason for many, many unanswered prayers, you know, no matter how or not. Now, in verse 13 of that same chapter, Matthew 5, ye are the salt of the earth. Very, very important. Don't do that by yourself. As a Christian, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, the Lord said, but to be cast out and to be trodden down under foot of men. I will comment on that and then we close from there for today. Now, the disciples, they know what the Lord was talking about, salt, because they were fishermen, right? You know, and they had to export this fish all the time, right? We all know that salt is a preserver, right? Salt is a preservative, right? You know, it does. So we know that. That's why all your food on the shelf, they all contain salt in there all the time. You go and look at anything on the shelf that had to have a shelf life, had to have the amount of salt in there. So they know what God is talking about and all that, you know. So much of their kind of merchandise, fish, had to be exported, so they had to put salt in it. So it has to be salted to escape what? Putrefaction, decaying. So all the fish they catch to be salted to prevent from decay and things like that. So then the application is this. Then the Lord said that you and I are the salt of the earth. and that how little the world, this world we are living in now, how little this world realizes what it owes to the Christian believer, you know, who they despise us. They don't care to be anything. They don't know how much they hold to us. But one of these days they will know. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you and I, the Christian, are the salt of the earth. Think about it. Why it's not for the Christians, I tell you, the world would have strangled in its decay. We are the salt of the earth. We are the preservative from God's judgment right now. And I give you some history, historical lesson on this and some of that, you know. Now, some 1650 years after Adam, what happened? The salt was gone. The antediluvian judgment came to the world, right? That's right. See, the salt of the earth, where the wicked now flood the earth and so on. What came? Great judgment. That was 1650 years after Adam. Now, going forward in history, about 450 years after that, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. See? All the time. You know, no. Not only that, another 450 years passed by. The land of Canaan regurgitated its inhabitants because of what? Of the extreme wickedness of the people. One day, I will talk about the 450 year cycles in world judgment and some of that, you know. I just give you two of them right now, you know. So why? When the righteous is taken out of the way, nothing left but judgment, you know. But now, past some 2,000 years now, that has gone by now, and God has permitted this world and this nation to go their own way. Now, no matter how poor the Christian show may be today, they think we're not where we are supposed to be, right? But we are still the salt of this earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. No matter how they may think about us, no matter how you think we have not achieved, we are still the salt of this earth. Praise the Lord Jesus. So that in the other part, the day is coming. When church is taken up of this earth, see what will happen. First of all, the rapture happened right now. When it happened, what happened? The Antichrist manifests himself, right? See? The Great Tribulation, the mark is issued. Great Tribulation take upon the earth. See, you are the salt of the earth. Darkness begins to gather. The great day of the Lord begins to come. You know, and something that you know. And then all to Armageddon. You see? So once that church is gone up now, Bible tells us that the Bible says a time of trouble has never been since the world began and will never be again will start to occur. This is the last part of judgments coming now. When that church goes up, and a time of trouble has never been since the world began. We are the salt of the, because the salt is gone, right? You know, so you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let's tell us. Don't believe yourself. See yourself as how the Lord sees you. So, however, once the church, the salt of the earth, is taken out, we may expect the judgment of God to fall in apocalyptic intensity. We went through that in the book of Revelation many, many years ago. And I always go back to that again and say that, you know. The vile judgments are coming too, you know. And look at those things that are coming upon the earth and so that, you know, I mean, terrible and terrifying things, you know, are coming and so on, that, because why? The church is gone up, you know. So we are the salt of the earth. There is nothing so useless as a hollow profession of religion. We don't want to be like that and so that, you know. It is a good thing. I mean, it is good for nothing to be cast out and trodden underfoot. I mean, a hollow profession of religion, not really deep down, not really rooted in the word of God. You know, so that, knowing how I begin, he that heareth my word and do them, I will liken him that build a house and built upon the rock, right? See, the same, I'm ending the same way. Don't keep a hollow, hollow kind of a religion as a Christian. So, you know, I mean, take in all of God. So, the Lord even said this to the Laodicean church as I close out this morning. You know, in Revelation 3:15, which we know, I will thou were hot or cold, he told them, that church age. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So let us keep the word of the Lord. So let us be lukewarm. So because we don't want to be spewed out of the mouth, the Lord's mouth. Let us be hot for God. Let us be on fire for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this come by closer walk with the Lord. You are the salt of the earth. That's who you are. You are the light of the world. Don't believe yourself. I want to finish one. I want to read one more scripture here. I just talked about that in Isaiah 60 this morning. Isaiah 60, the first two verses as I close that this morning. To remind you who you are, you know. This morning, arise, shine, for the light is come. Amen. Amen. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, I testified the other day, I don't know whether over the weekend, you know. I mean, his glory seen upon you. Yes, that's right. God's glory visible. And so there have been many reports why brethren were standing somewhere and so on. And the light of God was just seen upon them, just get lit up. God's glory is tangible, amen. It can be seen. If God open your eyes, praise the Lord. Amen. It can be seen. The unseen created the seen, right? Spiritual things are more real than the material. Praise the Lord. Amen. So take this thing and go this morning and rise and shine. Don't begin to live a beggarly Christian life. Arise and shine. For the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, and this world is being covered with darkness right now. We are the light thereof. Pretty soon now, the light will be gone. So, Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your commandments, they are not grievous at all, Lord, but they are delightful, Lord, for our own good, Lord. To be like unto the Lord. Lord, Father, we worship and we adore you, that we love your commandments. They're not burdensome. You even told us, take upon me my yoke is easy and my body is light, and we can always find rest for our souls. Lord, we pray for your children everywhere, Lord, to eat up the world, to digest the world, to walk in the light of the world. All the miracles we are expecting, they come by obedience to the word of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let us put your word where it belongs, above everything else. You understand through faith that even the words were framed by the word of God. He called the commandments, yet they are the word of God. He said, your word, the old prophet, said, your word have I esteemed above my necessary food. In the name of Jesus, he put food aside that, and then he ate the word of God. What that prophet said, that word, they were like fire in my bones, I said. In the name, that's how it should be with the Christian. In the name of the Lord Jesus, esteeming the word of the Lord in our life, giving the first place. Lord, we thank you, we worship you. Pray for your children, that this matter will come to the church of this last day, Lord. In the name of Jesus, love one another as you have commanded us, Lord, that you know, that be unity among your people, unity around the truth, around the word of God. You have prayed for the church, and I know it shall come to pass, that they may all be one as I and the Father are one. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we commit every of our needs here this morning to your hand, Lord. We thank you for the time of rejoicing, sharing testimonies, Lord, and the reading the scriptures, Lord. Every need here this morning, Lord, we commit to your hand, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, oh Lord God, we invoke the promise that we supply all our need according to your riches in glory by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we go with that and arm yourself with this truth. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I mean, ourselves with this truth, Lord. Lord, Father, we thank you. Whatever we do shall prosper. We are told in the scriptures, Lord, oh God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whether for our physical body, whether for our spiritual life, Lord, whatever it is this morning, Lord, oh God, you will supply them by our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thou shalt preserve our going out, Lord. It's a promise. It's a promise. And we just claim them. Preserve our coming in with promises now. And preserve us from all evil, no matter what they are called. In the name of the Lord Jesus, have given us power over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19 says so. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we trample upon serpents, sir, and upon scorpions, which means every appearance of evil and devil. And nothing shall by enemies hurt us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for all these wonderful promises, Father. We claim them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whether they call it pestilence or whatever they call them, and so on, that, you know, we are dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty God. In the secret place, or the Most High, having given your angels charge over us to keep us in all our way. 1,000 before at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand. As it is written, he shall not come nigh unto us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We commit our relative, both brethren and immediate family that are not here, to the hand of the Lord, thou being present everywhere, now you are watching over them, Lord. Cause us to always hear from them joy and goodness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you for the new week, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, the Bible says, surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we go, we are looking for that goodness, looking for that mercy. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it shall be as the Lord has spoken. Blessed be the name, O Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's sing this song as we close. He's coming back again.